Yes, indeed. The dulcet tones of the great Coluccio from TechWorks Consulting, ladies and gentlemen, right here in Ronkonkoma. MakeTechWork.com, one of the best, the guru of it all regarding technical achievement in the world of the internet, computers, and everything else that Chris is associated with his excellent company. And happy to have him in-house today, making a visit to the studios at MacArthur. It is good to have you, sir. How you been? All right? Everything okay?
I'm doing fantastic, Chase. Always happy when I get to talk to you.
That's always good stuff. We're going to get into a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff. I got to start with the cyber stuff, Chris, in the fact that, you know, I spoke to a couple of people yesterday. I was just wondering on the air a day or two ago saying, hey, what's going on with the panel, the committee, the questioning, the subpoena power, and everything else, trying to get right down to the nitty-gritty regarding the cyber attack of last September? I hadn't heard a lot of things. Well, finally, it's coming about. It's coming to fruition, and get ready. I mean, that is going to be an interesting time as far as Suffolk County is concerned. We've had all kinds of crazy things since you and I spoke. County executive has come out saying more centralized as far as maybe what it should be. I always wonder regarding insurance covering it. Was money given about regarding ransomware? I mean, there's still a ton of questions. More importantly, how does something of this magnitude happen to one of the largest counties around and really not a lot of answers yet, you know?
They don't take cybersecurity seriously at all. I mean, that's the simple answer is that they just didn't really pay attention or care about it, and they used you know, the same vendors that were the buddies and people that they knew. And, you know, I mean, it's I guess it's kind of similar to a lot that's going on in our government in general. I mean, they basically, it's the, you know, same people get comfortable in their jobs. They've been doing it for a long time. They spend a lot of money, and we get a little bit of, we don't get the proper amount of service for it. So how does that happen? I mean, there was so many people that dropped the ball on this one, and you know, and I don't even know how to explain it, because the money was there. The people that wanted to help were there. The experts, you know, people that I've talked to, and it just, for me, is just, you know, it's a colossal mistake. And I also, but I don't know how much they're learning from it to move forward. And hopefully we'll get something out of this panel. And, you know, with a new, maybe with a new administration coming in, you know, after our elections, that we might get, take this a little bit more seriously. But this is, you know, Suffolk County is kind of like, you know, the way that all the other townships and counties around Long Island and our country are not much different. I mean, some of them are taking it seriously, and some of them, a lot of them aren't. I mean, I don't even know, because I have, you seem more optimistic about the potential for them to find, really map out what the issues are, get a good audit on this stuff, and give us a good plan moving forward. Under the current administration, the way things are, I don't know that that's going to happen. You know, that's just, I mean, maybe it'll change, like I said, in the future, and maybe they'll get some information. But, you know, until they put together a panel of professionals and people that really want to put a good plan together, and everything happens in secrecy in the back end, then we're going to wind up with the same stuff.
Listen, I just want accountability. I think a lot of people want that. And, you know, when you look at the county executive, as Suffolk tries to kind of move away from this attack and everything else, you know, Steve Ballone touting this newly Chris, this newly centralized infrastructure, you know, to get these networks in play again. And a lot of people don't think that's the right way to go as well. You know, they want more of autonomy and whatnot regarding this stuff. What do you think here? I mean, isn't that the very basis of what happened here as far as not everybody being part of a system in itself and whatnot here? Maybe everyone should have their own system. I don't understand.
It doesn't really matter which way you go. There are practices and procedures that are put in place, standard security policies, whether they are done on multiple servers and managed, whether they are done across, you know, consolidated. I mean, there's reasons for doing both of those, and a lot of them have to do with business purposes. Some of them have to do with security purposes. But standard practices and procedures, if you don't meet the basics of that stuff, it doesn't really matter where you put stuff. And this is for every business. people tell me, you know, I'm putting stuff in the cloud so I'm more secure. And then people tell me, well, I'm keeping myself in my office so I'm more secure. And the answer is it really has little to do with that. It has to do with whether or not you're going to use best practices. You're going to take care of your take your security seriously. You know, you're going to monitor, maintain, put the right products in place, and, you know, and have professionals monitor and take care of it. If you're just, it's not a matter of whether they centralize stuff, because there's plenty of good ways to centralize stuff and still keep it separate for each person to manage securely and control access and that kind of stuff. And there's other ways to separate that stuff and have them talk to each other well and be secure. So it really is a good IT plan across the board, and having, you know, use cases for each one of those plans. Once again, that's, you know, it's a lot of symbolism, a lot of over substance here. You know, okay, we're going to put everything together and everything's going to be secure. And that's kind of what they told us after the last hack. But, you know, until there's a real public plan put out there, and until, you know, the people that got us to where we are changed, or at least, you know, educated on the best practices and stuff like that, then, you know, I don't know that there's a I don't know that at least in the short term that there's a big change coming.
You know, and we're talking with Chris Coluccio, of course, TechWorks consultant, talking about the ransomware attack, a probe, the subpoena power is coming into play in the next couple of weeks. We're going to hear a lot about this. You know, I'll tell you, if these allegations are true that county information technology employees reviewed private files and emails using these non-disclosure agreements, I'll tell you, that's serious stuff, Chris.
Of course they did. I mean, this is what happens when, you know, I mean, in chaos, this is what goes on. So, you know, there's a lot of rumors going around about, you know, who had access to all the data that was there when it was compromised, what they did with it. But if people use this stuff to their political advantage in some cases, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's what goes on in the chaos. People, I've seen it happen in businesses. I've seen it happen with partnerships. I've seen it happen. So when the stuff's not taken care of properly, when you don't have, and you know, we talked a little bit about, or we may talk a little bit more about data loss prevention. If you don't know where the data is and who has access to it and who touched it, then people are going to take it and read it. And that's just what goes on. So there's methodologies to stop this stuff from happening, or at least to mitigate it to a degree. And, you know, our government agencies and especially Suffolk County didn't do any of that. So if the data's out there and somebody's going to benefit from possibly reading somebody's data or getting a copy of their emails, or then it's going to get out and it's going to get leaked because it has a political advantage.
No question. And, of course, you know, Michael Balboni now in place, the consultant who's helping Suffolk search, you know, for the, you know, chief information security officer. This was a guy who, you know, he's registered to lobby for several county IT security companies, including firewall company Palo Alto Networks. You know, Palo Alto was at the very core of it all. I can't understand that whole thing. I mean, he is a lobbyist for Palo Alto to begin with. Which is, you know,
well, that's,
disingenuous in nature, no?
That just goes back to my, you know, kind of this good old boys club, or the, you know, you get into power and instead of picking the best people, you pick the people around you. Or sometimes those people that are, you know, you think are the best people are kind of snowballing you a little bit. And, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And that goes on a lot because, you know, a lot of politicians aren't savvy in the IT world, and they get surrounded by the most flashy, or the people that donate the most, or the people that lobby the most. And that goes on everywhere, but certainly in IT also. And certainly, Mr. Balboni was, you know, I mean, he was a past, you know, he was part of the system, I guess, is what I would say. He's been a part of that system. He knows how to work it. That being said, even that person being there and putting something like a Palo Alto in, that's not necessarily the worst thing. The problem is there was a lot of other people that didn't check to see if it was done correctly, if it was implemented correctly. And that's what goes on along all of our IT thing is that, you know, we go out, we spend money on all these different products, and a lot of them don't get implemented correctly because people are busy, because they don't know, because they, you know, the IT provider sold them a bill of goods, and, you know, they don't want to pay for all the extra labor, or they're going to do it in-house or whatever. So putting a Palo Alto in there and using a product like that is fine, but not setting it up correctly, not checking the alerts, not assigning people to be the champion for that product. And so as much as, you know, as much as I would say, okay, well, you know, this guy Balboni's part of the system, that product's not a terrible product. It works. It does what it's supposed to do when it's run correctly. We didn't manage it correctly. Whoever was designed there to actually, now I don't know his contract. I don't know why he, you know, what his role was supposed to be in there, but nobody from Suffolk County actually said, are we using this product correctly? Is it doing what it's supposed to do? And if it is, then what are we going to do about it when it finds something?
One last thing. We'll move on here. We're talking with Chris Coluccio, TechWorks. You know, you look at the vulnerability and all this stuff. That might have been a lot of signals here, even prior to this, years leading up to this ransomware attack. And that's through what we read about insurance. You know, the county has never had a dedicated policy to cover events such as this. I mean, which is hard to believe. Hard to believe. How could that possibly have been in play here? I can't imagine that.
Well,
who dropped the ball on that?
So cybersecurity, although a few years ago, you know, years back, I used to say it was one of the best deals in town, it has gotten expensive. And for an agency like, or, you know, an organization like Suffolk County that really doesn't have their stuff together well, they're going to pay a lot of money for that, and that's going to be very expensive, and it's going to come out of the budget. So you both have now, if you want to get cyber insurance, then, you know, you have to dig into the closets and find all the cobwebs and stuff like that and clear it out. And so people would have found out that for any good insurance company, either they were going to charge them a ton of money for the fact that they weren't really taking care of their systems well, or they were going to have to go through all these audits and start fixing stuff in order to get that cybersecurity, which is what we're seeing every company go through right now. They're getting, the insurance companies are getting much more savvy about offering up that insurance, and if not, it's going to cost a lot more. So I think it's both a cost issue. You know, it hits the budget, and it was probably very expensive from what I've heard for Suffolk County to get that insurance. And I think the other piece of it is that it would bring a lot of problems to light when the insurance company was calling you out or doing an audit on you.
No doubt about it. And you know, if you lack a number of key components deemed essential to obtain cyber insurance, shame on you. I mean, you know, listen, to me, it comes down to the leadership role here of the county executive. You know, you oversee a lot of this stuff. You know, I know you put a lot of stock into designating areas as far as expertise and the people in place there. But if you're warned of something that could be imminent and you do nothing about it, you know what? That's not good.
Everybody knew, anybody in the IT world that was part or dealt with Suffolk County knew that there were problems in our county, and they know that there's problems in other locales still that are maybe not taking security seriously or giving it lip service at best, you know. So yeah, I mean, this didn't come as a shock to anybody who has dealt with Suffolk County from an IT standpoint or kind of knows anybody in that you know, in the county that does IT for that. They kind of all knew this stuff was and they were ripe for it. You know, it was you know, like I said, it was out there for anybody to see if they really wanted to. And obviously, that's what the hackers took over, because they knew too.
The only advice I would give to this administration is two words, Mr. Coluccio. You know what they are?
I don't know. I would say transparency, because let us
nope.
know. What do you got?
Lawyer up, baby! Three words, sorry.
Yeah, well, you like I said, you're much more optimistic about the outcome of this stuff, because I generally, you know, don't ever see that people who are actually responsible get held accountable. They keep their pensions and they you know, they move on to some other job and that's it. And
well, you also got somebody who's term limited,
yeah,
by a year's end, so we'll see what
so
happens.
So my hope is the next administration comes in, you know, they find some good people to help them out. They use some people like myself and other great resources that are on the island to, you know, help them pull together a good technology plan moving forward. That's what I hope for, that, you know, from Suffolk County and some of the other townships around here, is that they learn something and they move forward. But like I said, as far as people actually having anything negative happen to them because they didn't do their job well, or they let this happen and it cost, you know, millions upon millions of dollars to the taxpayers, nothing's going to happen. You know that.
Yeah, but I'll say one last thing here. If people lost their jobs because of the ineptitude of certain individuals here, I'm not accusing anyone of a cover-up. Who says I am over there? No. But I'll tell you this much. Then there could be some hell to pay, but we'll see. Now, listen. Let's move on to a couple other hot topics, my friend. I'm talking with Chris Coluccio of TechWorks. AI, to artificial intelligence, my friend, and ChatGPT. I understand Microsoft and Google are adding it directly to its Office products. Yeah. Catching on quickly here, huh?
Moving fast. I mean, I got to tell you, this product is going to probably change the world in the ways that we can't even understand yet. The same way that the internet did, and the same way that the World Wide Web did. It's coming quickly. It was started, you know, even less than a year ago was a novelty. And within a year, you're already seeing Microsoft beta testing a program called Copilot, where you have it already built into Microsoft Office and Microsoft Word, and you can write papers or it's very interesting. So all the companies, major companies, are taking advantage of this product already. We've already used it in writing on and doing some of our bid process to make our bidding better. So this AI product out there that can, and that's just the very, very top of what it can do, is to help us write better papers or, do better research, get some better information quickly, and make us look like we're all English majors, so it's that's the very top of it. But you're seeing that because of how powerful it is, you know, for Microsoft and Google to already come up with their own alternatives to it, or integrated into products like Office 365 already, where you could test it, and you know, it's going to be it's the assistant on kind of steroids now. I mean, they're going to basically, as you're typing or writing, it's going to be already telling you that you're either misquoting something, or that, you know, you don't have the right information, or that you can make something better. It's very interesting. And I'm excited to see where it's going to go. I'm a little nervous to see where it's going to go, to be honest with you. And I'm usually not nervous about any of these technologies, you know.
Quick, though, I'll tell you, that was Chris Coluccio from TechWorks. You know, I hear a lot of regarding on the business security front, you know, data loss. I keep reading about this stuff. You know, protection, DLP, zero trust. What's this all about?
So DLP was one of those things I was getting at in our, you know, in the last segment that we were just talking about, which was that DLP is this concept that you go out and you actually, you know, we produce so much data inside our organizations, personally, yeah, professionally. But this concept of data loss protection is for us to say, this is the actual most important data in our organization, and we're going to deal with it differently. Differently in the fact that we're going to tag it, kind of in the way that the government tags, you know, security clearance data, that kind of stuff. And we're going to monitor that data, and we're going to do that in a couple different ways. So some of the ways might be using something like AI or other tools that are already out there that say any data that has the social security number on it or credit card information, that's automatically marked as data loss prevention. And then if we lost that data, we're going to be able to now track where that data, who had access to it, is this the original copy of it, you know, who took it out of the library, for example, if you have things like a virtual library, where did it go, so that if you did have a hack, if you did have something like what happened to Suffolk County, you would know that who was trying to access that data. And it's just another level on top of that. And this is done both on, you know, kind of, I'd say the physical side, but on actually marking and saying, we only keep that important data that is important to us or the government or whatever in a certain container, and then we manage and monitor that container, both for who has access to it and whether or not it leaves, how long people have access for it. So that's this data loss prevention piece. The zero trust piece is another piece that is becoming very popular inside organizations, especially the ones that need security. And that is that conversation that nothing exists on the network unless you gave it permission to exist there. So you don't trust that just because someone brings a computer into their network and they can plug it into a jack on your, in your office, that it automatically can get internet, that it automatically can have access to certain portions of your network. In fact, you don't trust anything, and you specifically say only something like what's called the MAC address of your computer, or only if it's authenticated through certain types of credentials. Yeah. Can it even get on my network? And that's not what people do. You see a lot of people who have open Wi-Fi credentials. Okay, so you give me your password to your Wi-Fi in your organization, and now I can just keep adding and adding and adding devices. So this zero trust says basically you don't trust anything, and we give permission only for things to access either data or our network.
Gotcha. Chris Colucci with us a couple of minutes from the great TechWorks Consulting. Ladies and gentlemen, 285-1527. Chris and the great crew there standing by, 631-285-1527 for any of your needs regarding what's happening in the world of technology and computers. Microsoft 365 and Google, the G Suite, they own 80%+ of the business we market. And a lot of people might wonder, what about alternatives to this? Are there any out there?
So it's very interesting because, you know, having some other things that I run, the MacArthur Business Alliance, the my foundation that we run, I went out looking to say, hey, do I have to use Google or Microsoft to run these organizations? And I started going out looking for other products because, they're getting more expensive. They hold a huge share of the market. Almost everybody either uses G Suite or Microsoft 365 to run their organizations, to get their email. And what I found is there's some really, really good alternatives out there. One great alternative, the one that we're using, is one called Zoho, which has a complete mail client, has the ability to edit documents, do so much more in some cases, and costs substantially less, especially for nonprofits and other organizations. So we started looking out there, and there's a really good set of alternatives, and some of our businesses are starting to ask us for that. They don't want to be in the Microsoft ecosystem. They maybe not trust Microsoft. They don't want to pay their bill anymore. They find it that it, you know, keeps changing, and they're, you know, it's difficult for them to keep up with it and all the new licensing models and all that kind of stuff. So Zoho is a great one that we've been working with. There's another one called Open365. The Nextcloud is another one, and Capano. These are all really viable alternatives for businesses. Some of these, and the good part about some of these things is that they can be hosted, like we talked about. Some people want to host their stuff inside their own office with their own stuff, or at least inside their own cloud that they control, and they don't want to give all of their data up to Microsoft. They don't want to give all of that, because so there are really actually some really good alternatives out there. So I would, and we're going to start looking at that, you know, who's going to be the next up and coming product that businesses may want to use. And I think a good one to start with is something like Zoho. If you want to maybe try to save a little money, maybe try to look at something that's an alternative to Microsoft and Google, like I said, for me, I'm always looking for alternatives, and playing around with Zoho has been actually really, really fun and interesting for some of the things that it can do and some of the things that are included that you would have to pay Microsoft or Google extra for.
Excellent. I'll tell you, that's great information right there. Now, you mentioned the foundation for Christopher Colucci Jr. and everything else. You have and by the way, how's everything going in that regard? I know you have a big event coming up in May. Give us a little idea there.
I mean, the foundation has been, you know, a wonderful piece of my life that came out of our tragedy, and we have so many great people that are helping us out. And our big, huge event that we do every year is something we started last year called Ping Pong for Positivity. And last year at that event, we had over 350 people. We played doubles table tennis with over 40 teams. And this year, we're assuming that it's going to be even bigger. We have St. Joseph's College that's going to be hosting us. And they're going to be, you know, so it's going to be at St. Joseph's College on May 13th. We're going to have probably 80 teams. We're looking at 500 plus people coming, food trucks. So it'll be a huge event. And it's just a good day. It was honestly one of the best days I think I've ever had in my life, just to see the positive people that were there, bringing light to a challenging topic, being able to talk about that and getting family and friends together to, you know, be able to, in a light way, talk about this topic, acknowledge the topic of suicide and mental health prevention, and have some fun doing it. And so we're super excited about that. And we definitely, you know, anybody who wants to join or sponsor, I can promise you it will be an exciting event.
And that's on May the 13th, ladies and gentlemen, with the Danzy Athletic Center at St. Joe's. Should be a great event at 6 o'clock in the evening. And for people to learn more about the foundation, my friend, where do they go?
Certainly, our big communication portal is on Facebook. We get a lot of that. It's CAC Good Grief is the foundation there. And then our website is the Christopher A. Coluccio Foundation, ChristopherAColuccio.org, who's my son with a different middle initial than me. So
awesome. Well, listen, it's great having you in play here. We'll talk more about this as we get close to that event, May the 13th. And we look forward to having more discussions coming up in April. And we'll keep an eye on what happens here in the next couple of weeks with all this cyber stuff in the county and everything else. I know you will, too. Great having you, my friend.
Thank you so much, Jay. It's always a pleasure.